We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You're listening to KCBS In Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In Depth.
Welcome to KCBS In Depth. I'm Mike DeWald. This week, we look at the speed and raw power that is NASCAR weekend at Sonoma Raceway. The annual event draws more than 40,000 fans from 44 states and 11 countries. Of the drivers, some have roots in the Bay Area and Northern California. We'll talk with a pair of drivers with local ties and a third breaking down barriers. First up, we're joined by AJ Allmendinger. Growing up in the South Bay, he started at age 5 on a BMX bike and hasn't looked back. Now, AJ, I hear you spent the week in sim sessions. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, we basically sit in a giant video game and we drive around. It's basically it. Preparing for this weekend is no different than any other weekend. So with limited practice, you know, nowadays we show up to Sonoma, we got 25 minutes of practice and we go right into qualifying, and that's really your prep time for the race. So the biggest tool that we got is going to like the Chevy sim. Chevy's gracious enough gives us time every week, or you know, most of the time every week, and we go in there and prep. You know, for drivers, I think the tracks are pretty much dead on, but it's not realistic in the sense sometimes of you know, it can feel real, but you show up and you hope all the work that you've done in the sim is correct. Some weeks it's dead on, and other weeks you show up and you're way off. And so there's a lot that goes into it, but at the end of the day, it's really the biggest tool that we got, besides, you know, from past races and things like that. But you know, even like from Sonoma last year to this year, Goodyear's changed the compound of the tire a little bit. So you know, there's a lot that goes into that. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of our every week prep.
I was going to say, I bet there's a lot of ways the technology, whether it's, you know, dialing in the car or you know, your own prep for a given track. I'm sure technology has changed a lot over the years in how you prepare for a given race weekend.
It has. I would say 2017, 2018 was when Sim was kind of first utilized. You know, before that, we were you know, as drivers, I think we were just iRacing and playing video games, and you're trying to just, you know, do that. And now we got so many things between sim, iRacing's fairly close as well, just trying to learn racetracks and things like that. A lot of YouTube videos and in-car footage from previous years. That's to me what helps me the most, is really going back and finding footage from last year and studying other drivers or even myself sometimes and trying to learn from that. But for team-wise, we don't get to test much. The only time we ever get to test is if we get to be invited to a Goodyear tire test. Usually that entails just one car from each manufacturer, maybe two cars from each manufacturer showing up and going through Goodyear tire tests. And other than that, like, that's it. We don't test. So, you know, previous, long time ago, I'd say when I first started, we were testing every week, it seemed like. So, yeah, it's changed a lot for sure.
Now, in coming back to Sonoma, you're a veteran of this now, but do you feel a sense of coming home to, you know, to be back in the Bay Area, just, you know, a couple hours down the road from home?
Oh, yeah. Ticket requests, for sure. So, you know, it's, for me, it's always special because a lot of my family and friends out on the West Coast, so like my parents live near me now here in North Carolina. So a lot of my family and friends that I'm going to see this weekend, I basically see once a year or maybe twice a year. So it's always special. I think it's difficult because you still have to focus on the job in hand and a lot of sponsor requests. Like this weekend is huge. We're bringing a new sponsor into the sport and Big Sips. So that's going to be, we're going to have a lot of guests from that side of it. So yeah, it's always a challenge, but it's always enjoyable as well. So it's a fun weekend. It always means a little bit more showing up there, and, you know, just hope that we can go out there and run well.
And in terms of the track itself, you know, what makes it unique? What are some of the challenging parts that are specific to Sonoma Raceway?
Just so really last year they repaved it, and that's what it changed it a lot, because Sonoma was always a racetrack that was fairly slick. You know, the pavement was pretty old. You would have to really focus on longevity of the tires. You could be really fast early in a run, and at the end of the run, the tires could be worn out and you could struggle a lot, or vice versa, really. So I think that really changed racetrack last year. I mean, just for instance, a lot of the corners we were in extra gear in. So we were carrying that much more speed around the place that we were, say like turn one and two, we'd be second gear. Well, we were third gear last year. And like through the S's, if we were third gear, we were fourth gear. So that changed the racetrack a good bit. And, you know, the elevation changes, I think, are always the toughest part of the racetrack. So, you know, I felt like we last year had okay speed. We were fairly decent. We finished sixth, but we definitely need to be a little bit better there. And track position is always critical. The way you do strategy with the stages, you know, I think that's tough sometimes because we're kind of on the edge of the playoffs. So you want to get points, but if you run a stage out more often than not on a road course, you're going to pit and have to restart mid-pack, and it's tough to pass around Sonoma. So just trying to find, you know, what the right strategy is. Hopefully we're up front, so we have to make that decision instead of, you know, struggling and you're just trying to salvage it. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a fun racetrack, but it definitely changed a lot once they repaved it last year.
Looking at your sort of your career, your upbringing as a driver, I was kind of laughing to myself thinking, if it has wheels, you've probably driven it. You've been on BMX, you've been open wheel, you've been NASCAR. What did that journey look like for you? It started very early on.
Yeah, it was. It started really watching my dad race just local dirt tracks around Northern California, and I was either watching my dad race or we were at a sprint car race in San Jose, in Baylands, Ascot, Calistoga, all those places. Like we were watching sprint car races somewhere. And, you know, my dad was really close friends with Brent Kading. I grew up racing with the Kadings through quarter midgets. So I kind of always thought I was going to be maybe a sprint car guy, and it just never went that way. I started off in BMX bikes. to this day, my favorite form of racing is Supercross. I wanted to be a Supercross rider. Like I just loved Jeff Stanton and Ricky Johnson and Jeremy McGrath. Like those were my idols, and like I just that's what I wanted to do. But my mom said there's no way after BMX that I was getting on a motorcycle. So we went four wheels, and I went kind of through the open wheel ranks and went through IndyCar, and then switched to NASCAR back in 2007. And heck, tried to retire one time. I thought I was kind of done full time. I was working for NBC doing TV stuff, and fortunately, I call it my second life at College Racing back in 2019. Just planned on doing a couple of races with them, some road course stuff to help them out, and it's turned into this is our seventh year, and we've won a lot of races together, so very lucky.
I guess, is it more challenging coming up in this area? You know, maybe not as many tracks as, you know, other parts of the country. You know, does that mean the longer trips to compete in all these races? What does that look like, you know, getting into this from the Bay Area?
Yeah, honestly, to me, it was the opposite. Now, I mean, I'll put it this way, living out here in North Carolina, I'd say the variety of racetracks, obviously going to different states is a lot easier. But in California, I mean, we had so many karting tracks around in I'd say 3.5 hour kind of time zone. So there was a lot of racing going on, and sprint car racing on that side of it, there was a lot of racetracks too that we'd go watch. No, not really. I mean, and if you go through the list of guys that, and I mean, heck, a lot of them in NASCAR, but even the list of guys that I grew up racing go-karts with and how many of them made a professional driving career. And that's guys like Scott Speed and Joey Hand, Jonathan Bomarito, on down the line. I mean, there's a lot of guys that I grew up with in Region 11 in Northern California there that became professional race car drivers. So, I think it's a great area for racing. It always has been. I remember being at Sonoma when I was 4 years old. I took a picture next to Harry Gant's car. I thought that was the coolest car on the planet. I was a huge, like, Skull Bandit, just that green and white. Like, that was my ultimate race car before Jeff Gordon came in, and then it became Jeff Gordon. So, been very lucky to be around race cars, and then my home track. Really an open wheel was Laguna Seca. I didn't get to run Sonoma much until I got to NASCAR. Laguna Seca was through Skip Barber and just all the open wheel races I did was at Laguna Seca. So that's, there's a lot of racetracks in Northern California, and I feel very lucky that I've got to grow up there and experience a lot of it.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
So in going from open wheel to NASCAR, you know, driving all of these different types of cars, are there similarities in them, or is it like, are you relearning it when you go from one to the other and it's just a whole different set of dynamics?
Well, I think nowadays with you know, as we're talking about sim and iRacing and just all that, it's a little bit easier. Back in 2006, when I kind of started trying to run some NASCAR races, I felt like I was just learning how to walk again. Like it was, I remember being at Texas in my first cup practice in 06, and I thought I was getting after it. And at that time, I didn't have a lot of oval experience either. And Dale Jr. passed me, and it was like a scene out of Talladega Nights. I was like, is that another car that just went around me? Like, are they going that fast? And they're like, yeah. And it was the first couple of years just trying to stay in the sport. And it's kind of crazy. I even looking back is that I've been doing this for on and off now 18 years in NASCAR. And if you'd have told 2007 AJ that, hey, by the way, in 2025, you're still going to be here, I would have said there's not a chance in hell, because I was just trying to just learn how to drive the car, let alone go beat other guys. So I think it's easier now just because of all the, you know, different avenues to learn how to drive these cars, but it's still difficult. It's not like, you know, I still think that's why you don't see a lot of open wheel guys just jump to NASCAR and all of a sudden, you know, they're in the sport and they're staying here. There hasn't been a lot of them that have made it and stayed.
That is NASCAR driver AJ Allmendinger. Next up, we're joined by Kyle Larson, one of NASCAR's top drivers and a veteran of both sprint cars and stock cars. He also calls Elk Grove home. Now, Kyle, does this race hold a little more weight for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't get to go home necessarily to Elk Grove, but like I'm close enough to it and have a lot of friends here and family that it makes it feel like home here. So I've spent a lot of time in the Napa Valley, you know, growing up hanging out with the Abreu family in St. Helena. So yeah, I've been spending a lot of time with them again this week and just enjoying the beautiful country. Even if you weren't from here or aren't from here, it's such a beautiful area and always look forward to coming back.
And this track in particular, you know, what makes it, you know, particularly unique, particularly challenging in, you know, in the context of, you know, the NASCAR season, you know, one of the more unique tracks you'll come across?
Yeah, for me, I really enjoy it. I enjoy all the elevation change. You know, you go really uphill throughout the first half of the track and then, you know, work your way back down. And it's really flowy, you know, a really kind of rhythm-based track, I feel like. So, I don't know. I've always enjoyed it. I've always ran pretty well here. And then, you know, now getting a couple wins since joining Hendrick has been great, too. So, yeah, always love going to places that you're good at, and hopefully we're good again this weekend.
You're coming up from this area, Drew, you were talking about a lot of the different tracks, whether it's, you know, here or Calistoga or, you know, all the different tracks around. You know, what any kind of memories, you know, as you're kind of learning your craft coming up as a driver, you know, in this area?
Yeah, so everything I did growing up was on the dirt oval tracks like Calistoga. You know, Calistoga didn't race too often, so we'd get there, you know, once or twice a year, but race a lot in Chico, Placerville, a little bit here in Petaluma, you know, Watsonville, down to Central California, Tulare, Hanford, you know, as well as going to Oregon and Washington and stuff. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, and that was in sprint cars and go-karts, you know, I raced as well. And that's kind of where you know, cut your teeth and learn a lot. But yeah, so it's always great getting back here, not only seeing, you know, friends and family, but even race fans that, you know, have been with me from the very beginning. So prior to NASCAR. So yeah, it's just great being out here, and you look forward to hopefully having a good weekend.
Now, whether it's being out on the dirt or, you know, out on the track, or you driving so many different types of cars, how different is it going from kind of discipline to discipline, and, you know, getting the feel for the car and the handling of it? Is it very different? Are there similarities?
Well, I think in the beginning, when I first started doing it, yeah, there was definitely, you know, a lot of moments where I remember just like buckling in the car and having to like shut my eyes and you know, picture me driving whatever car I was sitting in, whether it be, you know, wing sprint car, non-wing sprint car, you know, midget, pavement, you know, stuff, and then we get into stock cars and stuff. So yeah, it all felt quite a bit different. But then as you do it more, it just becomes all natural. And now I don't really think about, you know, what car I'm getting in. So in a way, it turns into just like riding a bike a little bit. So, but yeah, it's, you know, we don't do much of the road course style stuff. So, you know, thankfully we just did it last week and we've, you know, we're in Mexico not long ago. So you kind of get into a rhythm of road course racing, but, yeah, it's always tough. The sport's evolving all the time. Drivers are getting better. Setups are changing. Tires are changing. So it's never the same. So you're always trying to learn.
Is it more common now to have drivers, you know, in a number of different series, different type of cars, things like that? Because I know it's always happened to some extent, but I feel like more so now that you say the skill of the drivers, people are branching out a lot.
Yeah, I would say in American auto racing, yeah, I would say there's more drivers trying to learn other disciplines. I think a lot of that has come from myself having success doing it, but outside of that, you know, our schedules, our weekend schedules are so short now. You know, we have 20-minute practice and then you go into qualifying, then you go race. Like, that's a lot less time behind the wheel than we used to have. You know, we used to have testing, not all the time, but you'd still have some testing, some test days, and then, you know, you'd have a 155-minute practice on Friday, roll over into qualifying. Then Saturday, you'd have 2 55-minute, at least, you know, 55-minute practices, and then the race. So you were getting, you know, a lot more time behind the wheel, a couple more hours at least each weekend. So I think drivers and teams now look at that and like, okay, well, how do we continue to get seat time in whatever kind of car it may be? And so, yeah, you see them go and run a late model races or sprint car races, micro races. So yeah, the sport's kind of changed over the course of the last 5 years, but I think it's good for all of racing out here.
Does it almost feel like you show up and drive without, you know, much of that lead time, that it's just like, here we go?
Well, I mean, people have just kind of found other areas and other ways to, you'll get that seat time, whether it be real life behind the wheel of a totally different race car, you know, like myself, like I do with sprint cars and stuff, or, you know, a lot of the drivers now really put a lot of trust in the, you know, simulator, whatever, you know, manufacturer they race for. So, yeah, that's just, I mean, you're just trying to find different ways, but, I don't know, everybody's kind of got their own way of going about it.
Now, speaking of showing up and driving, you had a particularly impressive feat of pulling off the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 in the same day. How did you pull that off?
Well, I didn't. I didn't get to pull it off. I crashed actually in both races, but no, it was still a fun feat to try and, you know, go chase after. There's only been one guy that's completed all the laps of both races, Tony Stewart. And then yeah, just unfortunately, we had some weather delay issues, so I wouldn't have been able to finish, you know, the full distance of the Indy 500 probably, but I ultimately crashed anyways, and then yeah, I went to the 600 and crashed in that too. So a day that you know, did not go as planned, but still a great experience nonetheless.
And just in general, some of the changes that have come to the sport. You know, you're visiting new cities, you're changing formats, a lot of different kind of exciting things being tried out with the sport. You know, what does that evolution look like in the past few years?
Yeah, I would say in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, the sport has gone through a massive transition or change with the schedule, with the car, you know, the next gen car, and kind of, you know, more or less being in a way like spec racing, where all of our equipment's very, very similar now. And yeah, I think a lot of that's exciting. Maybe confusing at times to fans and people that are trying to come in. But, you know, our sport, I felt like for a while, was just, it was so much the same every year that became a little too predictable, too stale, especially with the schedule. So, yeah, it's good now. I feel like Ben Kennedy with, you know, NASCAR has done a great job of building the schedule and building excitement into it. And, yeah, you just never know what's going to come each year. There's always some sort of new event that's really fun.
So, you know, we think of, you know, driving our own personal cars out on the highway, and you think, oh, it's
something doesn't seem right. Oh, take it to the shop or whatever. How in tune are you with your own car to be driving and just get that sense of, oh, this might be off, that might be off? How kind of dialed in are you on that side of things?
So, I mean, I feel like all of us have a decent and probably unique to themselves, their own feel for what they're feeling in the car and stuff. But I'm not the type of guy that can, like, you know, tell my crew chief, hey, we need to change this or put this spring in or change the air pressure. I don't know anything like that. But I just try to relay my feedback of, you know, hey, I'm loose here, tight here. There's a bump here that's upsetting my car, stuff like that. But they're really smart, you know, the crew chief and engineers and stuff. And we have a lot of data actually to look at, and they really don't even need to rely on my feedback a lot of the time. So, I'm fortunate to have a team that, you know, I work really well with, and we kind of are all on the same page at all the times.
So for all the cars you've been in, all the tracks you've been on, is there one you haven't done yet that you say, that's a goal, that's something I want to try?
I don't really find myself thinking about that a whole lot right now because I'm so busy, you know, doing all this full time as well as racing, you know, sprint cars and dirt track stuff, another 40 to 50 races a year. So, I mean, I'm pretty much booked up where I can't even, like, even if I wanted to try something, I couldn't do it. So, you know, all this would have to happen like when I'm done racing full time in NASCAR at least. And I don't know what that would be. You know, life always changes. Obviously, you know, I think 24 hours of Le Mans would be really cool. I just don't know if I'll have that opportunity ever, you know, when I'm done racing. But I've not followed that event a whole lot, but I've heard, you know, through doing like the Indy 500 and whatnot, I've heard that event's potentially even bigger than, or the atmosphere is even bigger than the Indy 500. So that makes me want to, you know, at least go there and check it out as a fan. But that's one that comes to mind.
That is Kyle Larson. Finally, we're joined by Daniel Suarez from Monterrey, Mexico. He's quickly rising through the ranks. Daniel, this track in particular was the site of your first career win and maybe one of the most raucous victory celebrations this track has seen.
Yeah, Sonoma has always been a very special place to me, you know, even before the win, really. We were always strong here before getting the first win, and I enjoy coming here a lot. The food is amazing, the people is amazing. Really the Mexican community is huge, and I feel, you know, super love and support. And I have always felt like home here. So I love coming here, and I'm looking forward to compete one more time this weekend.
You come to a place like Sonoma, do you actually get time to enjoy it?
You know, so sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. This time around, actually most of the time we do have a little bit of time, especially because we, Julia and myself, we enjoy coming here. Yesterday we were in Sausalito, and it's a beautiful place. We had a great sushi, and it's just an amazing place, you know, to come visit and even to live. You know, I sometimes when you're in the back roads, you just see all these houses and super nice views and very green areas. I love that kind of stuff. So, so sometimes every time I come here, especially to the Sausalito area, I tell Julia, man, it's so beautiful. It must be so beautiful to live here.
In terms of your own journey coming from Monterrey, Mexico, was NASCAR always the goal?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I didn't even know I was going to be a professional racing driver. I was just driving just for fun. And, you know, growing up in Mexico, we don't have ovals for kids, you know. So when you are a young kid, you only drive road course in go-karts because that's all you have. You don't have any ovals. We do have ovals, but it's for bigger cars. So you have to be older to be able to drive those. And eventually, you know, I was always a big fan of NASCAR. I would say always a bigger fan of NASCAR than Formula One for some reason. And you know, once I learned about NASCAR Mexico, the national series in Mexico, I really wanted to be part of that. And And I was fortunate enough to have some opportunities to be there and in the NASCAR Mexico series and eventually moved to the US after that.
Who are some of your idols, some of the guys you watched growing up?
Yeah, in NASCAR, you know, Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson was in that list as well. Matt Kenseth was in that list as well. Kimi Harvey, like all these guys. And the funny part is that to most of these guys, I have got to race against. So it's super special, you know, that I got to see all these, so most of these drivers on TV, you know, growing up. And then I was able to compete against most of them, not all of them, but most of them. So it's been very special, you know, it's been very special too.
Of course, NASCAR did a street race in Chicago this year. How about bringing that to San Francisco?
I think it would be amazing. You know, we all know that there is some rumors around about doing something in California, but it will be amazing. We see. I will really, certainly will be a supporter of that. I love street racing. Something new for me. Also, I never did it growing up. My first time racing on the streets was a couple of years ago in Chicago. So I think it's amazing. It's something different. You know, I always tell people that that's a great way to bring the racing to the fans instead of bringing the fans to the racers.
Our thanks to AJ Allmendinger, Kyle Larson, and Daniel Suarez. Hopefully one of them will take the checkered flag and earn a trip to Victory Lane at Sonoma Raceway. For KCBS In-Depth, I'm Mike DeWald.
You've been listening to KCBS In-Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.